One is indeed capable of further refinement in, or one as it's almost fundamental logical scheme, one as indicating, pointing to the failure of the inadequacy of dealing with the kind of covering theory which it now appears that we must involve, the kind of conceptual change that is now required for the formulation of covering theory. One is actually involving the transition from one particular conception of order to a radically novel conception of order, following which the connection between the conceptual structure of descriptive language and the principle of intelligibility of the ontology and conception of order reflected is shown, as indeed to have been reflected in the mathematical formalism of structure, is occurring the mathematical formalism of the covered theories, and the covering theories requiring the fundamentally new kind of mathematization for its formulation. Actually, the kind of mathematization requires for its formulation doesn't actually involve a change in logic. It would appear, I would argue that yes, it does, in the sense that the idea of quantum logic, or some sort of quantum logic, as the more fundamental in the description of physical world, logic as a sort of organon, connects with the idea of logic as involved with the actual description of the physical logic as connected with ontology, the precise relationship between logic and ontology, the kind of connection which is envisaged between logic and ontology, as it's seen by somebody. This is very unsatisfactory. The state of treatment of this is extremely unsatisfactory. Consistency, for instance, is purely a property of language, and logic is telling us nothing whatever about the world. But the kind of mathematics that we employ, certainly when we're confronted with the claim that the we must make an assessment of the significance of the most fundamental notions in our mathematical theories, or rather in the most fundamental theories of which are in our mathematics, and particularly whether theory which putatively introduces considerations which transcend the scope of existing set theoretical foundations, this is a category theory, the impulse towards the heuristic indication, or so where the positive heuristic component, which is involved in, particularly when looked at, this is the great danger one would want to argue against, in connection with the qualitative characterization, the least qualitative characterization of the, particularly of the ontology, the primitive conceptual basis of the organization here, not foundations, but organization of the mathematics, is reflecting as qualitatively related in certain ways to the, as clearly sharing certain features in common with the sort of opposition between the principles of intelligibility and ontology, the two great ontological schemes that are being spoken of earlier on. That's when we particular persistent references when in assessing the qualitative. Mathematicians themselves sometimes talk in this way, particular persistent references to this way, the qualitative features of the kind of structure, the kind of conception of structure, the different, as it were, kinds of possible, in some sense, different kinds of possible structures, using here informally the language of the old abstraction theoretic view of mathematics in a way which you're arguing is indeed distorting and misleading, but which crops up again and again. Is talking about static as against dynamic attitudes to foundations, the static as against the dynamic, the geometric visualization involved in the actual formulation of category theory, as good with narrative the thought, the conception of so a connection between the static view, for instance, of the relationship between states of affairs when partner speaks or remarks about the billion connectives as just simply being false of Boolean logical laws as false of the connections between states of affairs. A very bizarre notion. Compare the treatment of logic as a natural deduction theory, the schema of the kind discussed in Hacking's paper on Wiggins, and you'll see why. This and has this sort of discharge of hypotheses of in the form set out, for instance, in the Belknap and Anderson book for the notation for introduction and discharge of hypotheses. The how would, as it were, a theory of partial, how could, as it were, the sort of ontology, the sort of ontological susceptibilities which arise from the idea of implicate order as discussed in Perm, find their natural could they be expressed in the natural deduction approach to the formalization of logical theory, logical laws? Well, of course they couldn't be. Against an approach as we're dealing purely with logic as a purely syntactic level, pre-theoretic view. Indeed, Gensen's investigations of proof theory, you can see much more about proof theory. You want to find out a lot more about proof theory. The susceptibilities of which demand as a finitistic basis for proof theory. See Dummett's remarks about holism in mathematical theories and the sort of role which the finitistic method played in the Hilbert program as a recording its combinatorial content as were completely concrete. That itself seems to compare SV274, the idea of and the motivation there as against the motivation from the role of functional abstraction foundations of mathematics. You want to accept the functional abstraction because it rests on a notion of functional correspondence which is absolutely clear and defined, that recorded, that as it were, formalized in our notion of the cumulative hierarchy. The idea of the member of a collection in extension as an having to be an individual in the metaphysical sense in which, as well, metaphysical notion of individuality is discussed, touched on in Hooker's discussion. It does seem, indeed, that this is one reason why the so the use of set theoretic models has not been favoured, why it the set theoretic approach is seen as burdening us with particular ontological commitment, not just with a larger commitment to universes of a very large cardinality and as objectionable from that point of view, but also as burdening us with a particular form of ontology. And this is we're quite separate from the first kind of ontological commitment with which the adoption of that view of mathematical objects view of mathematics as against the possible structures view is thought of as burdening us. Actually, the adoption of the possible structures view seems to me to be more even more capable, given some of the formulations which Putnam adopts, of leading us into error, leading us into hypostatization of a very different kind from the kind which they subject to the ontological commitment. elements of set theory find objectionable, namely just that in which we have, as it were, formed an intended model. Our commitment to set theory involves our having formed an intended model in the heuristic sense of, in which our notion of member of a collection taken an extension, that which could be put into a collection with other individuals of the appropriate type, in fact the lowest type, that certainly the motivation which Putnam, also which Russell and others gave for the type theory as being and as discussed for instance in Putnam when he talks about the relationship between the empty set and the pure abstract objects, he finds that metaphysically objectionable, but he, what his program involves much more as compared to Dummett, who doesn't find it objectionable. His idea of making the what abstract structures exist, parasitic on what kinds of physical objects exist, if the sense in which you regard those physical objects as existing could be regarded as highly derived, as derived from a, on the basis of, just seems to be not at all implausible that it should. On the basis of a, particular conception of the domain in intention, is involving a particular commitment to, or rather, you don't think it is conceivable that it should go this way, but the objection that stems from Hooker certainly does seem to envisage this, namely that we should regard. The set theoretic, our set theory as the structural transposition, set theoretic structure of mathematical formalism, involving the sort of structural transposition of a particular principle of intelligibility, one which is transcended, he'll argue, in the context of the kind of radically novel conception of order which within light of which we confect the fusion of conceptual structure and mathematical of the quantum theory of GR and of other theories too. That's because we're laying too much stress precisely on the qualitative. This is what we must get away with from this qualitative assessment of the ontologies, where the traditions in which the broad ontological schemes, the broad metaphysical schemes, in which are qualitatively the ontology, the kind of ontology of our accompanying theories stands, these theories stand as the particular historical traditions in which they stand. Compare, for instance, what it was about the program for GMD. Rather, that led Grace to talk about the need to a completely new kind of mathematical system in which ideas of monism and interdependence would be more naturally expressed. That is certainly the language of somebody who has the view of the relationship between conceptual structure and mathematical formalism and the kind of corrigibility in our mathematical theories that stems from the a view of the role of abstraction as it is related to the kinds of conception of order, the most general abstract kinds of structure, a notion which is not captured by the view that the notion, rather the view that the view that is captured by a notion that is not captured by the theoretic notion of a function, but in fact which regards the theoretic notion, the fundamental notions as discussed in Mabry, as responsible to a particular conception of the object of the theory, particular conception of objects, as it were, as objects. Objects. Compare Wang's remark about ontology. In fact, this is the wrong way to think about it. I shall argue one that we do require to think about the ontology of mathematical theory. Two, this is completely the wrong way to think about But there is a completely wrong way of thinking about them. That in fact the possible structures view by attempting to assimilate, having a tendency to, displaying a tendency to assimilate the treatment of the notions of mathematical structure, the notion of kinds of mathematical structure, properties of functions as these occurred formalized within particular mathematical theories, and as the differences between the ways that they can occur in different mathematical theories are both seen as involved in the further development of, e.g., enlargement of the concept of number that occurs in transition from view of the reals to the non-standard reals and the surreals and so on. It's still an ordered field. The axioms which are employed, which we regarded as not as false, but as defining a particular kind of mathematical structure, and there are other kinds of, indeed, logically possible axioms, the possible axioms of non-Archimedean reals, which allow us to define the non-Archimedean reals, and further non-Archimedean reals, the surreals, which in fact are precisely what we need for the systematic treatment of pseudo-hyperfunctions. And in treating the pseudo-hyperfunctions in this way, we certainly get away from any tendency to see them as of tremendous metaphysical significance in terms of the relationship between most fundamental notions of constancy as related to ideas of the relativity of notions of constancy and variation in the light of the principles of intelligibility and ontology that are involved here. Certainly, when law theory persistently refers to variation of structure with respect to time, and variation of structure with respect to some parameter, which can is to be thought of the relationship between the ways in which the parameters can vary, that does seem to me to be related to a particular conception that we might form of the way in which the domain of our theory, in the domain of variation of the values of the variables of our theory itself, is a domain thought of as a structural element, in the sense that Dummett speaks about only being able to form conception of domain when we can say, because we have assimilated the name bearer, all kinds of identity to a treatment of any kind of notion of functional correspondence to the name bearer relation. Rather, I would say that it's the notion of functional correspondence itself, which is quite absolute and fundamental, and particularly of at least one-to-one functional correspondence, but anyway, functional correspondence, cardinality itself. Yes, the notion of one-to-one functional correspondence. Now, the Plinian ontology apparently challenges that. Yeah, that metaphysical conception of individuality, but the notion of functional correspondence as part of logic, not just a part of logic, but as the absolute, some fundamental notion which underlies all intuitional structure, whatever, and particularly any conceptual order that we can form, in that the conceptual order which Burma is suggesting that we can somehow go beyond and form a conceptual order which more directly reflects the this idea that is, I think, Adam Bretel hinted at any rate, in the discussion of the transcendence of categories. It's the origin, as well, of all notions of structure in cosmogony, as any rate arising globe in the relation of local to global structure in a way which is intrinsically not capable of being handled, which demands, for instance, that we can use non-linears against linear concepts and the basis of our formalism. The idea that we might be able to do that, very tentative, touched on by Sachs, not you are attempting to show possible to follow it through in the way that it was originally intended by its people who mention it and use it, and the fact that they did so mention and use it was because they had in fact put the notion of fundamental conception of order, most fundamental kind of personal principle of intelligibility of ontology that we can form as something which is so open to revision and revision in the light of analogies which seem to show the kind of conceptual, first of all, the idea, Rennie's idea of the relationship of conceptual structure and mathematical formalism, the kinds of structures going in the mathematical formalism. Another context, and secondly, the idea of the kind of corrigibility that mathematical formalism might possess. Doesn't in fact possess the kind of corrigibility that's envisaged. I'm going to argue, it certainly doesn't involve revision of truth values in the sense of, you know, the idea of axioms as being false of objects, such as lines of points, states of affairs. That's precisely where it comes, we come to the application of the mathematical formalism to an already conceptualized reality. In fact, we may have to reconceptualize the reality, but if we do, it'll be independent. We should forget perhaps all about conceptualization in that sense. We should in fact rely purely on the mathematical formalism itself. If we rely purely on the mathematical formalism, which is precisely what's involved in the, you're going to argue, in the movement from quantum theory and to the more very refined, highly abstract mathematical formalisms of physical theories today. Further recordings made on the evening of the 21st of March 1978, about 4 or 5 hours for the previous recordings on this tape. Two of the things that you must tackle tomorrow morning are, first of all, go through the notes on in the margin of Putnam in that article, in criticism of him, tying that in with the general reservations about the whole approach that he's undertaken. Remarks, for instance, about the relationship of logic and ontology, certainly. In Putnam's case, in when he talks about the Boolean axioms, so we're failing to describe the actual relations between logical relations between states of affairs. Compare states of affairs as an ontological category, and the way that states of affairs actually related in the world as a logical, as an ontological question, and the axioms of as a way of logic, as purely logical, as a syntactical one. Compare the your notes on, for instance, the 1971 Quine paper on variables. See what it was you wanted, the notes you wanted to make first of all on the 1971 Quine paper, following on from the footnotes on the Wiggins article, particularly the footnotes on the Wiggins article on identity and rigid designation. Compare notes on Dummett's paper, Dummett's chapter on identity and question about rigid designation, the exploitation of scope distinctions to cope with the problem which is dealt with in by rigid designation, and the compare the the Peacock and Tennant paper. See, get the transcript of that discussion. That is really quite important before you see DW. Recall, first of all, your notes on the evening of the 20th of March 1978, coming back from Twister Conference at Oxford, particularly your notes about the fact that one sees increasingly in the writing of these authors, that's to say Quine, Putnam, and so on, the rise of the conviction that mathematics, as it were, is a proper part of our scientific knowledge, continuous with our scientific theories, in which it is presupposed by them, as it were, the indispensability argument, just forms, as it were, a more general theory about the most abstract possible kind of structure to be encountered. In the physical world, that sets are, as it were, posits in the same sense as electrons required by the that the way that they contribute to the systematization of the total body of scientific knowledge, the articulation of the total body of scientific knowledge is in principle sort of open. Their status as posits. What kind of consideration could we possibly entertain as which affects their status as posits? First of all, in the organization of mathematics itself, their status, we shouldn't consider them not as posits, but as they are collections of objects taken in extension. The idea that we can form a completely clear notion of object taken in extension, that is to say, of a member, any object, whatever, the psychologistic basis of some of Mapers' remarks, that the idea that we can form the idea of a collection taken an extension such of no, that object clear, distinct and discriminable object of our intuition or thought being such that it can be put into collections with other objects. Certainly we're talking at this purely intuitive level about the sort of intended interpretation that we have. See the earlier marks on these tapes too about intended interpretations as actually requiring the set theoretical the axioms of set theory as recording the sort of principles of reasoning that mathematicians do in fact employ as it were principles of in the sense that there's the theoretic approach as opposed to the purely combinatorial proof theoretic approach to the relations between Tailman relations. Purely proof theoretic view of mathematical structure is residing purely in consistency, but consistency proves themselves requiring as set theoretic notions for their formulation, set theoretic notions of truth and satisfaction. The argument against taking, for instance, the two values, as Dummett discusses, truth and falsity, as just a two element set, any two element set, the idea of the sort of geometrical logic that Lovier proposes as a be looked on as a sort of extended pure logic, which as it illuminates the general theory of metric spaces, something which we must reject, I think, completely, because the propositions of metric space, the general theory of metric spaces, depend on a classical predicate logic for their formulation, presuppose it. Valuations as bivalent. If sort of valuations are just thought as infinite value, or as infinite valued, the interest in considering the relations between so-called geometric logic and algebraic geometry as providing the basis for the study of continuously variable structures, in the way that classical abstract set theory is thought of as the study of constant structures. But truth and falsehood, the two element character of the truth, target the notion of logical consequence itself is only explicable to be elucidated through notions of truth and falsity. Dummett's discussion of the meaning of the logical connectors as residing in grasp of truth conditions, and the notion of sequences of elements of domain which form the Gaston was discussion about Lindemann algebra is the form the elements of the calculi of intentions in the, or rather in the task and explication of extensions is somehow more fundamental. Let's display the relationship between syntax and semantics more clearly than does the purely also truth set explication. Can't argue not so. The relationship, for instance, cylindrical algebra is in the discussion in Quire's paper on algebraic logic as Boolean in character, Boolean homomorphisms. The remarks also go a strong way about Boolean homomorphisms as enabling us to, for instance, when we discuss about the formation of functor categories, we go right back to the notion of functional correspondence, which we have as the most fundamental notion in all our logic. The most fundamental notion of function itself as involving notion of functional correspondence. The idea of one-to-one mapping of the kind that that Tommy discusses in the passage on Geech. That's perhaps the argument there about that being fundamental and the kinds of functional correspondence between elements of domains of very high cardinality is somehow less apparently clear, having less clear grasp, or clear grasp only insofar as we know how to pair off elements in the way demanded by our conception of functional correspondence. This idea of pairing off elements in the way that is demanded by the notion of functional correspondence, which regards it as the notion of functional correspondence itself and the kind of order, conception of order, most fundamental abstract kind of structure of order in structure that apparently underlies it, of structural order. Rather connected up with the metaphysical, from the Mabry point of view, rather bad metaphysical notion of abstract form. We can give a complete clear explication if in terms of set theory, the axioms of set theory, and in terms of the cumulative hierarchy, we start with elements which we can, might be argued for which we can count, and therefore, in that sense, although the notion of natural numbers as abstract particular survives, the sole survival for Mabry remarks the old notion of abstract particular, it's rather more an abstract form that you're concerned is the absolutely fundamental notion. We can give a much clearer explication in terms of set theory. You'll see the remarks of Mabry. Look, for instance, at Sneed's remarks about the notion of serial order and the idea of the intuitionists that our conception of serial order, as it were, the kind of order that is connected with the notion of natural number as more fundamental than any form of larger organization of any form of, as it were, any set of logical principles, any set of axioms which embodying, so say, recording a way in which we actually employ those notions on fundamental grasp on which we rely in application, in actual mathematical reasoning, application, no other notion of which is applied in actual mathematical reasoning, which is implied in the construction in the clarification of structural relations in postulation of, and the crystallization, for instance, of in, what might I say, intuitively perceived, conceived relations, heuristically conceived, out of so-called quasi-translations, the Castonga relations of entailment, these having to crystallize in model theoretic forms, and questions about the cardinality of the structures arising there. Anyway, the point being that the notion of serial order itself, in some sense, most fundamental of all, for both Kant and for the original, so first generation intuitionists, these notions as connected up with the notion of succession in and construction, and that in itself seems to postulate the idea of the prior commitment to the ontological status of the relata of temporal relations. Compare the ontological status of the relata of putative relata of temporal relations, the as it were, local level of analysis is such that, from the point of view of Graves's discussions about the relationship of global and local properties and characteristics, the idea of the one as implying the other in a way which analysis of which actually suggests that the axioms which in the sense of Putnam are to be thought of as actually false in the most fundamental intuition, most fundamental notion or sort of conception that we can form of the functional correspondence itself, which have as part of our logic, insofar as it reflects, as Putnam in his remarks about relations between states of affairs, and the parallel relation between logic and ontology is postulated there, it does seem to think that it reflects a commitment to a most fundamental abstract possible form of structure involved in the world, that is to say, reflected in our most fundamental conceptions of order. The see all the remarks about principles, intelligibility, ontology, and in Hooker as a subject to revision, and the kind of revision to which it's subject is connected up with, see the earlier remarks on this tape, because of the qualitative and primitive conceptual base, Gateway theory is a primitive set theory, and the intended interpretation of set theory, the Neo-Cantorian sense, is connected with notions of abstract form, in this case the form of existence of any structure as reducible to the relationship between abstract particulars, form of existence relations between abstract particulars. We want to argue that, and as reflecting the commitment to the view of the world as ultimately describable in terms of plurality, relations between plurality of independently existing entities which are structureless with respect to conceptual resources of the doctrines, languages, conceptual framework employed for the description of the world and articulation of the most fundamental relationships, if rather we regard the structures and the aspect of the passage of time for as dictating for physical space a topology very different in the large from that which we encounter, for instance, in the small. See the remarks that from that which we encounter locally, and all the propositions which as we're dependent on assume local structure, remarks that made about the way that entities postulate the behavior of entities as conforming to a certain pattern, the properties of entities, a certain kind conceived at a particular level of conceptual organization of the language of description relative to a particular set of interests which lead us to single out and identify these entities in a way which certainly, I mean, the identity conditions of these entities might be such that there are certain properties which are connected with the very possibility of individuation of those entities themselves, and the those properties, in a sense, would have to be usable. We should have to. This is the clause of DWs that you're a little bit unsure of. Remarks about having to be a member of the set of properties needed, the most fundamental set of properties needed to provide a complete scientific description of the world. That might not, in fact, be that set of properties might not be the set of properties such that they are connected with a very criteria of identity of objects of various kinds themselves, because we might not, as it were, want to single out, we might not wish to recognize those objects as entities in our ontology, that is to say, the sense in which we no longer recognize those objects. We certainly wish to talk about them, but the talk about them occurs as highly derived talk. Rather, our own sort of interest in singling them out and the is itself subject to. I'm afraid you've slightly lost the thread of these last few remarks. See your earlier notes, first of all, on the introduction to the thesis itself and some of the remarks I wanted to make in that connection. Secondly, it will rise to the conviction that mathematical structures possess kind of corrigibility. The proper analysis of the relationship between conceptual structure and mathematical formalism. These are some of the remarks in Hagedorn. Detailed criticism of Putnam and so on. See the remarks about leading to a particular program. Such program in the foundations of mathematics. In detail at Dummett. The text for general introduction. Questions about role of variable and the kind of corrigibility. And symmetry and discussion about Frege identity reading for equations. And details, theoretical model. Conceptual clarification of the issues involved in ITR's explanation and the light they throw on the relationship of conceptual structure and mathematical formalism. Kind of problems that are an extensional. Completely extensional treatment of TR's poses, which is a micrological perspective to one which is sensitive to questions of conceptual structure and the relationship of the kind of relationships of theories, and the kind of relationship of theories pass over to other tape. No, not quite yet. Whether the sort of relation of theories falling upon which the level at which the conceptual structures involved in the language and description of the two theories required to be modified, see the paper by Berm in Bastin. The idea that the sort of considerations involved in showing how to affect unification of the structures, see the remarks about transcendence of categories, and reformulation of new mathematical concepts. concepts directly see 1930 to Iraq. And concepts need for the unification of respective formalisms, or showing how it is upon the fundamental development which is, in terms of conceptual structures, is within one tradition in which tradition rather than another tradition in which one stands perspective for the further development of in the light of the sort of ontology of awareness of conceptual possibilities accompanying elements within of the basic concepts of that one scheme. It acts as an indication, heuristic indication of the way in which the concepts of the other should be adapted, be regarded. See, for instance, QM out of QGMD, out of Erm's viewpoint, thinking intelligibility first.